Been talking to the youth quite a lot of late about grace and the law. How grace is what we are saved by. It says, by grace are you saved. So what is this grace that we're saved by? Well, grace is something that we don't do for ourselves. Grace is something that is freely given. You don't have to earn it. It's costing you absolutely nothing, but it costs Jesus everything. This grace of God will cover all your sins. Now, God judges sin. But because Jesus shed his blood, when God looks at you and all your sins, he doesn't see your sins. He sees the blood of Jesus, which has paid the penalty for your sins. Now you might say, oh well, I've let God down, I've done wrong. Well, good for you, haven't we all? And if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in all the things that you've done wrong. And you'll start having a little pity party and feeling sorry for yourselves because, oh, aren't I a failure? Oh, aren't I no good? Oh, I'm a useless Christian. There's no such thing as a useless Christian. There's no such thing. Don't let the devil lie to you. Jesus' blood has paid that penalty, that all the sins that you've committed in the past, in the present, in the future have been forgiven. So you leave here tonight and you go home and tomorrow you have a day and you let God down, you let your friends down, you sin and you fail. But you're still saved and you're still born again. And the blood of Jesus covers that sin. That sin has already had the debt paid. Jesus doesn't have to keep coming and dying. He's died once and once for all. Now, I'm not saying that you go out and you deliberately sin. That's not the right way forward. The Bible clearly tells us that that Jesus did not come to do away with the law. The law still exists. And if you want to fulfill the law, the Ten Commandments, and the rest of the law, the good news for you is I will now tell you how many laws there are. In total, there are 613. And the Bible tells us if you fail in one law, you fail them all. So your choice is simple. Are you going to choose to live under the grace of God, or are you going to choose to live under the law? I choose the grace. The grace of God is something we don't fully understand. It's something that people tend to shy clear of because they will say, oh well, by teaching them that all your sins are paid for, you're giving them a license to sin. I can sin quite easily without a license. I never needed a license to sin before I became a Christian, and I don't particularly need a license to sin now. But the grace of God and understanding what He has done for us and our responsibilities now will set us free from a heck of a lot of condemnation down the line. The Bible tells us that He didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. So how do we fulfill the law? The law had demands. It had consequences for sin. And the consequence for sin is death. But for those of you that are in Christ, for those of you that are born again, that have given your lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible clearly tells us that when once we receive Him as our Saviour, He has paid the price for our sins. And there is an old word, soteria, meaning salvation, which means just more than being born again. It also means salvation, it means healing, and it means deliverance from sin, and it means your needs all met. Now then, we go from the Old Covenant with its 613 laws, and we receive Jesus as our Saviour, and we get all excited and thank Jesus that he's done everything. But as Daniel was just saying earlier on, now under the New Covenant, we just have two things to remember. We love the Lord our God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you love your neighbour as yourself. And that fulfills all the law. If you love your neighbour as yourself, you're not going to want to kill them, steal from them, lie to them, cheat, or anything like that. Hasn't Jesus made life easy for us? He's made it so easy for us that all we have to do is to love him, seek him, and love our neighbours as ourselves. You know how you want to be treated, so don't treat your neighbour any differently. One of the things about being a Christian, when we were growing up, a lot of the time you were told that now you're a Christian, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't go there, and that is a load of hogwash. Because as a Christian, you need to go to some of these bad places because that's where the bad people are. Now, I'm not saying go and be a bad person. And I'm not saying go and do all the sinful things that they're doing. But some of the stuff that we were taught, did you know we weren't allowed to put lipstick on? You bunch of Jezebels. You weren't allowed to. How dare you come to church? And you've got makeup on. How dare you? And for us girls that are wearing trousers, that is so sinful. What would you do if Jesus came? Well, I'll tell you what I'd do. I've got trousers, so I'd go for a run by the river in the fields with him, and I'd have some fun. I might even push him in the river. And he wouldn't die of shock, because Jesus wants to enjoy our company just as much as we want to enjoy his. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we make our Christian lives boring because we're trying to fulfill the law. Will you please stop trying to fulfill the law and fulfill the grace? Love God, put him first, and love your neighbour as yourselves. It's got benefits. When we do the breaking of bread, which is what we're going to do now, at this table of breaking of bread, there are bonuses for us. At this table, the body of Jesus Christ was battered and bruised so that we might receive our healing. If you need healing, when you take the bread, you literally say, Lord, I receive my healing. There are a number of us in here tonight that are taking medication on a regular basis. And every time I take this bread, I'm saying, Lord, this is one less. I'm believing you for my healing. It's not manifested yet. But I'm believing I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And you'll not take it away from me because Jesus died that I might receive that. And I don't necessarily know why I haven't already received it, but I do know that I'm believing that it's going to happen. I believe he has already healed me. My body just hasn't got the message yet. There's nothing wrong with the blood of Jesus or his body. It's all sorted. His blood, you were remembering that his blood was shed for our forgiveness. I'm going to read the passage of scripture to you. Paul said this, and it's taken from 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. So as we take the bread, remember that Jesus' body was broken that you might be healed and set free. After the same manner he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The blood represents your forgiveness, your salvation, and your wholeness. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Right, now we get to the old hot potato. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. How many of you have been taught that drinking the blood of the Lord unworthily means that you've got sin in your life? Right, you don't need to raise your hands. People will tell you that you're drinking it unworthily. If you've sinned and you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you are unworthy. You are an unworthy sinner. No, you're not. You're a child of God. If you have been born again, you are a child of God. You will not be eating and drinking unworthily. If you are wanting to seek His face and you're wanting to be set free and walk in His kingdom, you cannot be walking unworthily. Like I said before, you may have sinned, you may have fallen short, but if your desire is towards God, you're not drinking unworthily. I'm not saying you don't need to say you're sorry sometimes, because it's all good, doesn't it, to repent and apologise when we've made mistakes. But ultimately, the blood of Jesus sets you free and covers you until you get your brain in gear and you apologise. Now, you might say that people are going to, you know, they're going to be sinning and sinning and sinning. It might take them days and days and days before they repent. No, it won't. They're not true Christians. Christians are not looking for ways to get out of sinning, finding ways to sin and get away with it. That is not what we're doing. It says, let a man examine himself and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now then, when you became a Christian and you were born again, you take the cup, you take the bread, and you remember the Lord's death until he comes. You are not eating and drinking unworthily, and you are not drinking damnation to yourselves if you are a child of God. The only people that are drinking damnation to themselves would be an unbeliever that's not been born again, that came into a church service, didn't receive the Lord, and still took of the bread and the wine. And they are literally proclaiming what is actually said in the scripture. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death because Jesus has already paid the price. The price that Jesus paid for us is a free gift. But for sinners, the wages of sin is death. And so if you're not a Christian, you don't take of the Lord's Supper. If you are a Christian, you take of it, and we do as it tells us here. We remember what it's about. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different today. Normally, we get the bread and we get the wine, then we go around sharing with each other, which is a good thing. But today, I want you to come out, and I want you to get the bread and get the wine, and to take it and to remember what you're doing and why you're doing it. When you take the bread, you are remembering all that Jesus has done, that by his stripes you were healed. So if you were healed, it means you are healed. It's just the old flesh that's got to get the message yet. And when we come to the wine, we remember that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered us from all our sins. Now, it is a very special time, if you like, where we can communicate with God. And if we're not careful, when we start sharing with each other, it just becomes a bread sharing exercise with no spiritual content. So today I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to say don't share, but before you share, and if you share, please make sure that before you do that, you spend a little bit of time just thanking God for what he's done. If you have a sickness, if you have an illness, if, like myself, you've got type 2 diabetes or whatever other illnesses you've got, as you take the bread, reaffirm to God that I believe that by your stripes I am healed. I am believing that I am healed. I'm going to surprise that doctor one day when I go for a blood test, and she's going to say, why are you taking all these tablets? Because you prescribed them. Okay? Now the thing is, our responsibility is just like I said, to put God first in our lives. We put God first in our lives, and we look after our neighbours, we look after them as ourselves. We don't have to worry about, is this right, is this wrong? Because if you are seeking God's face and you do something wrong, I think you might find he'll let you know. Because his desire is that you walk in a close relationship with him. He wants you to walk with him. And I want to walk with him too. And I'm sure everybody else does. So as I say, as we take of the bread, first of all, if you can take the bread for yourselves and just have a little thank you to God before you share with other people. And if somebody is praying or appear to be sharing something with each other, don't wade in and just force the bread. Just be a little bit sensitive and give them a minute to complete the prayer or what have you. Because as I said, it's a special time, and it says that we remember the Lord. At this time we're remembering what he's done for us. Okay? And so we're going to do that, and then we're going to share the wine. Graham, are you going to come and help me? Father, we thank you for your blood, for your body and for your blood that was shed for us. We thank you that you sent Jesus to die on that cross. And as we take of the bread and as we take of the wine today, we ask, Lord, that you help us to focus more on you, that we might bear in mind just what a tremendous price you paid for us, that we might be set free, that as your body was broken in such a terrible way, that you set us free, and that because of it, by your stripes, we can be healed. And so, Lord, we just ask right now, in the name of Jesus, that you will give us what we're asking for at this time, as we remember in you, and as we take of this bread that represents your body. We pray, Father, that you might break in healing amongst us, that lives will be changed today. Okay, do you want to... That lives will be changed today. And that as we take of this bread, that healing will belong to you. That we avail ourselves of what God's done for us. That by his stripes, you were healed. So as you take of this bread, receive your healing and receive your deliverance in the name of Jesus. That you might be set totally free. And that the devil will stop having his way in our lives. That we might all be set free in the name of Jesus, and that health and wholeness will be ours from now on.